If you have your Bibles, what we're going to do is look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Actually, this morning, just seeking the Lord, I heard this. Whose life are you living? And so obviously I've been thinking about that, and then the scripture came to me in Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Sound like a paradox. I'm dead, but I live. I'm crucified, but I live. He said, but the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, to understand where he's coming from, you need to look at the context of Galatians. Galatians is a letter, not just the context of a chapter, but the context of the letter. And the problem that the Galatians were having was Paul had gone into that region and had preached Jesus Christ, and these people had become born again by listening to the message. They're hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. They're receiving that by grace. You're saved. They believe that. But after Paul leaves, he gets a report that now they've had people to come in that are zealots for the law, and they want to bring these people under the law with great emphasis on circumcision. This was a major issue. And so Paul is dealing with this. Here is a man who used to live by the law. Do you understand? Paul was an extremely religious man when he was persecuting the church. He was excelling his peers for his zeal for the Lord. So he, by all standards, was the zealot of his day for the law. But then he had an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. And from that day forward, he started seeing things differently. And here was a man who was well-versed in the law. He knew what we would call the Bible. Obviously, he didn't have the Bible of that day, but he had the law and the prophets and the Psalms, okay? He knew that. And that's how he argued his case with the religious leaders of his day. So here's a man that says, I have been crucified with Christ. What he's saying is, I have died to the law. I'm living a different lifestyle now. But I am living. And now I'm not living by Paul's standard. I'm living by God's standard. And really, that was the question that I feel like that's where the question was going when the Lord said to me this morning, whose life were you living? Are you living by your standard, or are you living by God's standard? And I guess that came to me because I had been thinking about some things in general, just observing how people live today, what they're thinking, what they're doing. And I understand that we have things in life we have to do. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about how we approach it. And I think about how few people really look to God until they get in trouble. Most people don't even know God's standard. So what they do, and I'm talking about religion, okay? People that attend church regularly that really don't know the standard of God, so they live their own standard. Now, here's the amazing part about that is they use the Bible. but they interpret the Bible from their own private interpretation. In other words, they'll read it and say, this is how I see that, and think that that's okay. Just because I see it that way, that makes it okay. And over the years, I've had many people to tell me, well, now this is the way I see that scripture. Well, now, I'm usually kind, but how you see it is not the standard of God. How God sees it is His standard, and are you getting revelation? And the only way we're going to understand things, obviously, is by getting in tune with God and letting God talk to us instead of us talking to God, so to speak, to tell Him what His Word says. I need to let Him tell me what the Bible says rather than for me to tell Him what He said. I have a friend that he's dead now, but back many years ago, he was somewhere and somebody saw him and said, I know you. And I said, now wait just a minute. He started telling me the name. I said, no, don't tell me your name. And they started saying, you're so-and-so. He said, no. And then they said, you're so-and-so. He said, no. And this went on for about two or three times. Finally, he told them what his name was. They said, no. He said, well, I guess I know who I am. And see, so a lot of people don't know who they are. It's like it's a guessing game. They're trying to figure out who they are. They don't know who God is. They're trying to figure out who God is. And consequently, they don't know the standard of God. And you'll never know that standard unless you get in and develop that intimacy with the Lord. You won't learn the standard just by reading the Bible. Does that shock you? As a matter of fact, you'll get information. And I've been pondering on something. I've been listening to a minister who's been teaching on knowledge. And I've been listening to that, and this thought came to me while I was listening to it, is information and knowledge are not necessarily synonymous. I'll let you think about that for a minute. You can have information that is actually false. So is that knowledge? You're misinformed. You understand? Most people, should I say most or should I say many? I'll be kind. Many people are misinformed about God. Many people are misinformed about the ways of God. Many people do not understand the life of God. So they set their own standard. And when you set your own standard, then that becomes religious. And when it comes to the things of God. Well, that's what the world has done. You think about any religion, regardless of who their God is, and they've written their standard, haven't they? For how they're going to approach that God. They write their own standard. Now, the interesting thing about Christianity is one person didn't write it. As a matter of fact, he didn't write it of his own volition, but he was moved on, these various people. The Spirit of God inspired them to write. So what we have in what we call the Bible is information that has been inspired by God, which is a true information, so consequently, it is a knowledge that you can count on. It's accurate knowledge. Today, people are being educated with information, but it's contrary to the knowledge of God. And I was thinking about how this generation, how little of the knowledge of God they have. Because religion came in and took over, and religion is political, so it compromises. So it brought the world into the church and put God out. And even though people come to church and subject themselves to ministers or to teachings or whatever, they're not getting the standard of God. They're being taught the wrong standard. So they're living by an inferior standard. Do you believe God's smarter than you are? Do you really believe it? Do you believe it enough to live by His standard and abandon your own? You sure? Okay. See, this is what He's wanting us to do. Paul lived by the standard of the law. And I'm going to make a statement here. Don't run off on a tangent with it. Just hear me out. You know there's a difference between hope and faith. Right? Do you know you're not called to live by hope? Well, I thought I was supposed to have hope. I mean, you know, the Bible says faith, hope, and charity, these three. Well, of course you have hope. But you don't live by hope. The just live by what? Faith. If you're going by the standard of the law, you're living by hope. You hope that you can be good enough that one day that God will receive you to Himself. But if you're living by faith, you know that you can never get good enough. But there's one who was good enough, and all you have to do is believe in Him and unite with Him, and then you live His life, or you allow His life to be lived through you. But think about this. When people meet you, whose life do they see? Especially in adverse circumstances, whose life do they see? Do they see the life of God being manifested? Is that the standard they're seeing? Or do they see the life of just a good person? See, you can set good standard, but good's not always right. As a matter of fact, when it comes to religion, good generally isn't right. And people are substituting good for right, and consequently, we're living our standard, we're not living God's standard. We've set the rules. Do you understand? So if I keep the Ten Commandments, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, then God will like me, God will receive me, and I won't go to hell. Now, it's amazing how many people think that way. Paul said, I'm not living a life of the natural man. See, that's natural thinking. If you live by the law, you're living naturally. If you live by faith, you're living spiritually. And we're told right here in this same letter of Galatians, for this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That doesn't sound optional. That sounds like a command to me, right? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Why? So you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. You don't follow your standard. If you walk in the Spirit, you follow God's standard. Then it just makes sense. See, we're at a time in history that we better make a good quality decision, because our nation is on a path of destruction. And I'm telling you that it's quick. You understand? It is very quick. And I believe that there should be a sense of urgency that rises up in the believers, that we must do something. Not to take matters in our own hands, not to attack in a natural way, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. What are they? Spiritual weapons. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But if you're living by your standard, you think it's flesh and blood. You think it's a person. You think it's a group of people. But the bottom line is, they're under the inspiration of the devil. They may not appreciate that, but it's a fact, whether they appreciate it or not. And if you're trying to just fight flesh to flesh, you're going to lose. Because there's a spiritual force behind that. So consequently, our role as believers is to do our battling in the Spirit. And then obey what God tells you to do. I had someone ask me, well, what do you think we're supposed to do? I said, obey. If God tells you to do something, your mind may think it's insignificant, but you don't know the ramification of that. You don't know what it will accomplish. You do what God's told you to do. Who would have thought that a small group of people could have influenced the entire world generation after generation after generation after generation simply by proclaiming the good news of what Jesus did? He was actually depending upon 12 people, 11. Judas let him down. Of course, he knew that. But he was dependent upon these men to not just continue, but to accelerate a ministry where he was in one locality, because that's where that was what was ordained. But now they're to go into all the world. Isn't that what he said to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel? To whom? Every creature? Every person on earth has the right to hear the gospel. I don't care how mixed up their head is and their actions are, they have the right to hear the gospel. Because they're doing what they're doing because they're influenced by a wrong influence, they're deceived. Now they have the right to hear the gospel so they can make a choice. And if they don't want to choose Jesus, then it's self-destruction. You understand? Because I can tell you right now that God's the winner. That Jesus has already won the battle. Okay? There's things that you and I are walking out as the body of Christ, and we must walk it out in the Spirit. Otherwise, we get beat up all through life. We approach things wrong. We do dumb things. None of you ever done dumb things, right? Yeah. Say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Take the wrong action. all this kind of thing, simply because we're not following the Spirit of God, and much damage has been done in the church as a result of that. So I have to look at my standard of living. Who set the standard? Me or God? Do I determine whether or not I have arrived or attained? Or does God determine what it takes to arrive or attain? It's by faith, not by works, right? Y'all awake? Okay. I'm trying to get it out. It's in here. I'm just trying to get it out, all right? So, I've been crucified with Christ. That means self, the self-thinking, all the self-motivation and all these type things, those things are dead. That was old man. The life that I'm living now is Jesus' life. So it's a different standard. How many of you know Jesus' life had a different standard than natural life? Has a different standard. So now we're living by that standard, or we're supposed to be living by that standard. The life that I now live in this physical body, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. We're struggling trying to get faith, and He's trying to give us faith. Operate with mine. Believe like I believe. Just get in tune with me. Because you're over here and you're determining whether or not things are occurring or have occurred by circumstances. Right? How do you know if a person's saved? I mean, what happens when a person gets saved? Do you see something spectacular take place, or you believe? Right? Then in time, their life is a testimony of whether or not their confession is true or false. You can see how the person lives. You'll know whether the person's delivered from something if they stop doing it. It's an amazing thing to me how many people say they're saved, and yet I don't see a change in lifestyle. So what are you saved from? Right? Well, it's the same thing with everything else that pertains to God. You don't see it with your natural eye, but you can see it through what's manifested as you go through life. And the just live by faith, not by sight. So God says it, I take the step. And then once I initiate the thing, God confirms. Then you take the next step. So what you're doing is that you're seeing God's truth. You're seeing the integrity of God. As you obey, you see that integrity. If you don't doubt and you don't go back to your own standard. God's trying to raise the bar, if you will, to take us up to a higher standard. Isaiah 55. To where we're thinking like Him, because His thoughts are superior and His ways are superior. So God's wanting us to bring us up here for what purpose? To exalt us to where we think we're somebody? To help our ego? No, not at all. If I'm up here, I can pick you up. You understand? If we're living by a higher standard, we can bring other people up to the standard. But if I'm just walking on the same level you're walking and believing like you're believing, how can I help you? And religion is just a vicious circle. And we're going around and around instead of going up and getting closer. Do you understand what I mean? We should be, our lives should be drawing closer to God. And if we're following God's standard, the standard that God has for us is He'll lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, if I'm walking in the paths of righteousness, the older I get, then the more in tune I should be with the Lord. The more of the Lord should be emanating from my life. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, the body of Christ should get to the point to where we could truthfully say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Now, understand what I mean by that statement. What you're seeing is what Jesus would do if He were here. How many of you have ever heard, what would Jesus do? Well, that is supposed to be seen through the body of Christ. If people want to know what Jesus would do, they should be able to watch the body and then they could see what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do with a lost person? He would try to get that lost person found. It's not that he's lost him, the person's lost. They don't know where they are. Most people are groping in darkness, trying to find this and trying to find that. And God has an invitation out, but people don't want the invitation. They're throwing it in the trash. Separate yourselves. Come out from among them. Live by our standard. The standard of religion will take you down a path of destruction. It'll keep you from ever getting into the place God wants you to be. In order to get where God wants you to be, you have to enter into personal relationship. You can't ride the bus. It's not corporate. You understand? You have to walk with Him and commune with Him personally. And I think that, here again I'm going to use the word many, many church people are trying to go that corporate route and reach God corporately. And we're missing it. It's personal. But I can tell you this, that if everyone in here were to get personal and intimate with the Lord, we could have a corporate time. You understand? But we have to get our mindset off of the corporate onto the personal, onto the intimate. If I'm intimate with the Lord and I'm one with the Lord and I'm thinking like the Lord, I will be doing right. I could say you. You with me? So whose life are you living? See, He's wanting us to live His life. But we've been called up living our own life. A life of pleasure. I mean, this is one more fun society, you understand? People are so locked in on the living for the weekend, to the sports arena and all these type things, and that consumes their thinking. And, you know, we're in a time period right now, you know, with where football is climaxing and all to the end of the year, and it just has captivated people. And Sherry was telling me yesterday how much money people were spending just to park their car to go to an event. And that thing is absolutely controlling. And we don't even understand we're under the control of a system. God wants us out of that. There's so many needs. The harvest is white. That's not a cliche. When Jesus said the fields are already white and ready for harvest, they still haven't been harvested. Do you understand? Some was harvested in that particular time. But look around you, and you don't have to go far, you'll see a need. You understand? And there's a difference between need and greed. I'm not talking about satisfying the greed. It can't be satisfied. But I'm talking about the needs of people. And the true need of a person is spiritual. Do you know that poverty is not a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing? It's a mindset. It's how you think. If you see yourself never enough, you'll never have enough. It's a mindset. We have to get our thinking right. And when we get our thinking right, it'll be in line with the Word of God. That's the only way you get your thinking right, is to where you're living that life. The life that you now live in the flesh is being lived by the faith of the Son of God. That Jesus Christ has the influence on you, not the world. Now, you don't need to answer it out loud, but just ask yourself, who influences me most, Jesus or the world? And it won't take long to answer that, because all you have to do is just look at what you did yesterday or the day before or this past week. If you look at that, then you can find what's influencing you. How much is the Lord in your mind? You know, Jesus always had God on his mind. It's more profound than you think. And because he always had God on his mind, the world didn't dictate his life. It didn't matter what was going on in the world, he did what the Father wanted. Didn't he? If he needed to go to the boat and there's a raging storm out there, he could walk on it. He didn't let the storm prevent him from getting where he needed to be. Don't let the storms of life prevent you from getting where you need to go. Don't let adversity stop you. That should be, if anything, a motivating force for you. God's life does not stop because of an adversity. He looks to the other side of it and doesn't think about not going through it. He sees the results on the other side. We must look at the positive results on the other side of walking in the Spirit. Stop thinking about how deprived you're going to be if you don't walk in the Spirit. You know, I didn't serve the Lord for years because I felt like that I was going to be deprived of all this fun and all these things and all, you know, you think you're going to give up everything, not knowing that the things that you're pursuing are trying to kill you. God lives in us. How active is he? He lives in us by his word, by his spirit, and by faith. I believe God lives in me. If I don't believe God lives in me, his life won't be active in me. You understand? You ever heard according to the power that works in you? Actually, the word's active. How much is active on the inside of me? How much more power can you get than the power of God? See, it's not a lack of power. It's not a lack of resources. It's a lack of activation. And the reason there's a lack of activation is we're following the wrong standard. We're following the wrong life. We're trying to live this life instead of God's life. And if anyone should live the life of God, it should be the body of Christ. You don't seem real excited. It should excite you. Because I'm going to tell you what, Jesus had an exciting life. I guarantee you, he did a lot more things than what we've been doing. And yet, he tells us that the things that he did, we can do also if we believe. He said, even greater. But I can't do it with this standard. I can't do it living the natural life. I have to choose to live the life of the Spirit. Now, when you say that, people think, well, if I do that, then I'm going to have to give up everything natural. Don't be brain dead. You're in a natural world. God chose not to take us out of a natural world. So obviously, natural people do natural things. You eat. You sleep. You rest. You're supposed to work. Okay? Those are natural things, but they can have supernatural effect. It's not that you don't do the natural things. You can say, well, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to mow my yard. You know, it's going to be Spirit. Well, see if the angels come down there and mow your yard. I mean, there's some intelligence here. While you're doing it, be in tune with the Lord. In other words, don't let the natural captivate you while you're taking care of natural things. You do what you have responsibility over, but don't let that captivate you. Stay in tune with the Spirit of God. This is walking in the Spirit. It's not something mystical. It's really controlling your thinking to where you don't think on this standard. If I don't think on this life, I won't follow that. The standard that I meditate on is the standard I follow. Pretty basic, really, isn't it? So whose life are you living? The life of the old man? Or am I living the life of the Son of God who lives on the inside of me? He gave that life for me, but he gave that life to me. You see that? So let's not let it lie dormant. Let's walk in the Spirit. Amen? Well, that's the message. Okay. Now what are we going to do with it?